Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gabaza, and for today, we are getting into what it means to actually litigate a case, because a lot of the time, if you're watching the movies, especially American shows, you know that people like suing each other, but all of that stuff comes at a cost. And in certain cases, some people might not be able to pay some of those costs, and this is where the likes of Taurus come in. So we're going to be talking to Gary Swiden, and he is a partner at Taurus Capital, and we're going to be talking about all of that, because they have an interesting business which actually helps to raise funds for cases, and they recently closed a fund that raised a total of 145.8 million rand that's there for people that can go out there and litigate their cases. So we're just going to be talking about, you know, how they actually came up with something like this, and I guess a little bit about the business model as well, because it's an interesting one, not one that I've personally come across, you know, in all of this that we do. So, Gary, greetings to you today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks, Mudiwa. Thanks for having me on your show.
So, as Taurus Capital, we've heard about the fund. We know that you guys have raised, you know, all of this money. But maybe taking a step back, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the company itself. I'm very interested to maybe understand, you know, the actual business model, how you guys go about first raising the funds and then disbursing the funds.
Right. So I think, just to give you some context about the business and where it started, my partner, Simon Cooper, approached me approximately 5 years ago. He used to be in practice as an attorney, and I come out of a commerce background, and he came to me and said, listen, I've got this idea of litigation funding, which is a fairly, you know, it's far more progressed overseas. There's quite a few businesses in the UK and the US that, and Australia for that matter, that provide litigation funding solutions. It was fairly new in South Africa back then, and still remains fairly in its infancy. Nonetheless, he came to me and said, listen, I want to get out of the business, out of practice, and get into the space. And presented this business to me about litigation funding. And essentially, the nub of it is to provide funding to plaintiffs on a non-recourse basis for a share of the proceeds of a claim. Typically, those claims are commercial in nature, that we look after, because obviously we're looking for a monetary return at the end of the day. So at that point, we did quite a lot of investigation, what happens around the world in this, and we decided to look to put together some funds on basically an ad hoc basis to look for matters to fund, to help the litigants. So what happened is we landed up funding one or two cases on an ad hoc basis, and those, and again, as you well know, litigation is not a quick, it's not a quick thing. These matters can take anywhere between, well, on average, between 3 to 5 years to reach some level of finalization. So one needs to make sure you have sufficient capital available to litigate these matters appropriately. So we funded some matters on an ad hoc basis. And during that period, we also realized that the most appropriate way to do this is within a fund. To have the capital resources available, as well as to give investors in who want to come in from an investment perspective some portfolio effect in investing, basically. So, I mean, litigation by nature is not a perfect science. We can chat about it in a little bit, in exactly how we look and what we look at in matters that we take on. Essentially, from an investment perspective, you can come into the fund and you have a portfolio effect. So if we have 10 matters running in a specific fund, where we target a 5x return on money. Should we have a loss in there, you have a portfolio which will protect your investment in that fund. So I mean, in terms of the actual business, we're made up of we have a legal risk committee, which is made up of some retired senior counsel as well as some practicing senior counsel, which actually looks at when matters are brought to us. We do quite an in-depth investigation as to the merits of the matter, as to how we, you know, to look at the timelines, to try to look forward and, you know, what's going to happen in the future and take some views on that. As well as we have a investment committee, which also then has a look at the commercial aspects of a case. Those two factors are really the most important and really what we spend a lot of time reviewing before we put matters into our fund. One needs to take a view on how the solvency of a defendant is obviously very critical to us in what goes into our fund. We must have a view that, you know, something that we invest in that we're able to collect on a judgment in a few years' time. So there's quite a lot of moving parts, but what we have done is we've assembled, you know, quite a great bunch of people that have all these skills together to be able to appropriately assess the legal and commercial risks of matters that we look to put into our fund.
All right. So with all that in mind, the universal factors that you guys have to deal with, you've got your different committees, you've got your two big factors, you've got merits of cases, etc. One might ask at this time, have you guys been making money, or are you guys making money?
So we have had cases that have been successful, and we have collected on. So, for example, one of the matters that we started with a few years ago, at the beginning of the business, we provided an 8x money return to the investors that came into that matter. So we have had success. We've had another matter that has been successful that we're busy collecting on. So we are making money. That's pretty much what actually was the precursor to the fund. So it was basically we needed to prove out the business model from an investment perspective. So we provided cash back to our investors there. And on the back of that, there was confidence in the model that this is something that has legs in South Africa and there's a demand. There certainly is a demand for it in the market, and there's enough of it that we can build a business out on. And that's where we also, at that point, we actually partnered with our partner in the business is Capricorn Capital Partners. They're a partner in the general partner of the business and a shareholder. And that gave us the confidence to go out to the market to say, listen, there is a viable business model here. There is a market demand. We see a significant need that, in South Africa for these matters, litigation is not a cheap exercise, and it takes a long time. And for us, what we're offering, you know, litigants or claimants for that matter is a partner that is well funded for, you know, to partner with in their litigation. What they have to do obviously is share the spoils. But there's an alignment of interests and we're seeing a lot of demand for that.
When it comes to the actual demand that you're talking about, what type of cases have you guys found yourselves funding? Because I'm thinking about it from, you know, both points of view, because on the one hand, you've got people that are trying to get certain cases tried, but they might not get them tried because they simply don't have the money. But on your side, 3 to 5 years is a long time and a long commitment to have, especially if the case is, you know, big and all that. So what type of cases do you find yourselves funding, and who tend to be the type of people that approach you?
So it's a great question. So I mean, the natural start of this is in the automatic thought process is typically, and we have at this, where often it's a case of someone who, well, there's two scenarios. The one scenario is someone who has a matter and for argument's sake has a matter with great merits, but simply just does not have the budget to actually even incept the litigation. So they almost can't get even out of the starting blocks. So that's one scenario where there's just not sufficient, there isn't money available. And we do get those guys coming to us looking for funding from the beginning. So that's one scenario. Another scenario is where a litigant has gone up, typical the David and Goliath scenario, where you're up against a very significant large corporate with unlimited budget, where they've just worn you out over the years, and again, it typically is years, and they've run out of cash. And that's also, you know, we see those. So it's, we see both. So from inception is one scenario, from a point whereby they've run out of money, or there's even, run out of money, or not often, but sometimes we actually see a corporate who has the sufficient funds, whereby they just don't want to use their cash for litigation. And that's something, this is something that we're pushing quite hard, whereby for corporates with cash actually saying, you know, instead of using my money for litigation, rather than that, use their cash in revenue generating activities and get a litigation fund on board to actually provide funding for them in the litigation. And that's something that is actually happening significantly overseas and still very new here. But it's very much a different mindset for a corporate who has funds to say, okay, you know, let's use our cash for whatever revenue generating activities, which is their core business. And instead of typically litigation is not their core business, bring in a funder and provide, you know, we work out a solution that works for them in order to take that cash out of the income statement or, you know, off their balance sheet, for better words, and get a fund on board. It's definitely a better use of your cash. And also help someone, you know, that's in it for the long haul, that, you know, will go to the end and help them get to a monetary award.
Against that backdrop, then 145 million rand, 145.8 to be exact. What does that do, or what can you contextualize for us in the realm or in the universe of litigation? How far an amount of money like that, you know, can actually go, right? It does that fund one multi-million rand case involving a corporate, or does that, you know, maybe stretch out to 10, 20, 100, like, because I'm pretty sure that you guys have the type of stats about what average cases cost to litigate, how much people tend to spend, and all of that.
So this, what we're looking to target in Fund 1 is approximately round number 7 matters. We currently have 4 matters that are in the fund at the moment, and we're busy considering another 2 that are, we expect to admit quite soon. You know, as well known again, that litigation, certainly of high value commercial litigation, is not a cheap exercise. So on average, typically our matters are anywhere between 5 to 15 million rand worth of legal expenses. And we do, we look for matters of high value. So sort of our benchmark is anything north of a claim value of approximately 30 million rand. And the reason for that exactly is it's very hard to litigate a significant commercial claim for much less than 5 million rand in this town. So it's not a cheap exercise, and we do look for sizable claims. Approximately 7 in the fund, and our plan is we will hopefully fill up Fund 1, and then we will look to open Fund 2 and so on. So yeah, there's the difficulty of litigating a claim I should rather say, of 5 million, you know, or even 5 to 10 million with a fund on board, sharing in some of the proceeds is difficult. It's the missing middle. It's hard to do.
Would you be able to then contextualize? Because as you're talking, one of the things I'm thinking about is, how many cases are going out there untried, or people are just either running out of money or just don't have the money to begin with? Because if 145 million rand is going to be set aside for about 7 matters, in my head, the quick back of the napkin maths says that's roughly, 2021 million rand per case, right? And I don't think the average South African has that type of money. And even the average small business owner, I don't think they have that much money. So I can imagine that if there's a matter that you'd ordinarily take a corporate to court for, or if you find yourself in litigation against a corporate that does have the unlimited funds that you spoke about just now, there's probably a lot of cases that are either falling, that are falling by the wayside.
Yeah, no, the cases are, some of them are probably being litigated, but on a not the most efficient or effective way. So there's a bit of both. Some can find attorneys that may be willing to go on contingency in some of these matters, and that's one of the ways you can get your matter litigated. The other is there's a respectfully maybe a shoestring sort of budget to try and get it along the way. But this is where our opportunity significantly comes in this market, is if you really want to litigate appropriately with the correct legal team of certain stature, plus the appropriate counsel and experts, yeah, you're spending a lot of money. So are they being litigated? Possibly. Are they being litigated in the best, appropriate, well-armed manner that they should be? Not. There's a big gap there. And I think that's where we're trying hard to fill that gap, to give guys the appropriate opportunity to litigate against the Goliaths with a better war chest.
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking that comes to mind right now, and, you can feel free to comment or not comment on this, is, the Vodacom Please Call Me case, because it's one of those things that's been in the news for, years now, right? And and with all the settlement amounts that Vodacom has come to the table with, and you have the complainant time and time again saying no, what I'm actually looking for is X amount, which is a much higher number. You talking and just contextualizing how much it takes to actually litigate some of these cases gives a little bit of context, or at least, lends a little bit of explanation to be like, okay, fine, this guy is probably in the hole for quite a lot of money, and whoever's funding, his case, probably at some point, he must return to the people that, have backed him along the way. So, that thought, is something that's coming to my mind right now.
Yeah, I think very perceptive, and what we've done, and I suppose we're learning lessons all the time. What we have learned and what we do typically with our clients that we enter into agreements with is we sit down right at the beginning, and I suppose this is great in hindsight, but sitting down right at the beginning and putting down what we consider is a trigger amount. And that trigger amount basically says, right at the beginning, what is that amount that's going to be set in stone contractually between the two of us that we can agree on before we even start to say, if that's the amount that's arrived at by settlement, for argument's sake, is that's the number, and it's an auto auto and agree that it's burn. But to your point, how we arrive at that number is we've modeled out a very comprehensive model over time, you know, the various stages of litigation to get to that number. So as you say, it's not when those numbers are thrown around, it's not just a number that doesn't have consequences of it in the background with the funder or whoever spent the money. It's quite a technical analysis to get there. So, I think you hit the nail on the head there.
So with that in mind, then, I guess going forward, where do you see the space evolving? Because, you guys have been able to raise this amount of money. You've got, cases that are currently, in the fund, a couple that are yet to be admitted. Going forward, you know, are you looking to be having even more cases, or do you have, sort of an iterative process where you go, you raise funds, you have certain number of cases litigated, and then, you close out that fund and then start again? Or do you see yourselves in a situation where, we might find ourselves with, Taurus Fund 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, perhaps all operating concurrently?
So I think that certainly is our aspiration. We would like to, fund one is closed. We'd want to full fund one. We do want to then start fund two and three and four, as you say, and there will be that concurrency and overlap between them. And, that certainly is our aspiration. Again, I think the demand's there, and, that's where we would like to see the business going.
And in terms of funding, because I can definitely see where the demand is on the side of litigants, people trying to go up against maybe those that have deeper pockets. But on the funding side, how has that journey been? Are people keen to get invested when it comes to these types of funds, especially given the risk profile that a matter may take up to 5 years to actually come to a conclusion? You know, if it's a please call me, you might be a decade in.
So, Maria, we were approximately 30% oversubscribed in fund one. So we had a really positive, feedback from our investor base. And I think the question is why is that so? There's very few, investment cases where you can offer a potential 5x money return to your investors, albeit there is a certain risk profile, no question about it. There is a binary outcome in the cases, i.e. win or lose. And that's again where we got back to the fund. So to provide the portfolio effect in the fund. I think guys were looking for, this is with inside of an alternative asset class in a general individual or offices sort of investment, portfolio. There's a percentage that they're looking for. And I think that percentage is slowly growing as an alternative asset class. And I suppose we're looking to take a small piece with inside of that class. And, it's still new, but there was definitely nice demand. People were very interested in this class. And I think if we can deliver the returns, in this fund one that we're hoping to do, I think we'll definitely see a nice demand into 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, so I think as we end off then, how do you think South Africa, when it comes to this particular market, compares to other parts of the world? Because at the beginning, I remember you talking about having done research, benchmarking against what was happening in other parts of the world where the trend actually began. The size of the market in South Africa versus, maybe more developed countries that you guys actually took time to study.
We're absolutely in our infancy here. We're still at the beginning. We think the market is significant, the opportunity is significant. We have a robust legal system. The arbitration forums are world class. So I think we're providing a nice solution, a South African solution with South African knowledge. I know a lot of the international funders are starting to peek their eyes in here, but I think we have a unique insight into the local market, and I think we're well positioned to offer this to, you know, a solution to the attorneys, to the claimants, to help them litigate.
And for yourself, this is a curiosity on my end. You gave us some brief history earlier on, around, I guess, looking at the landscape and then coming up with this idea, funding a couple of cases on an ad hoc basis, seeing that there was demand and then getting in. But for yourself, are you from a legal background or are you sort of more on the investment side? Because I can think that someone who's doing this would be from one of those two worlds.
Yeah, so my partner is from the legal side. I'm from the commercial side. But how I got into this was, well, certainly in my commercial history, I landed up in a very significant arbitration to which lasted, I think it was about a 42-day arbitration, to which we got a significant award at the end. And then we left quite a lot of money on the table because as a corporate at that point in time, we decided we didn't want to spend any more money chasing after that award. And had I known at that point in time that there was a litigation funder that we could have brought on board to help us go for pretty much five times the amount that we left on the table at that point, I thought would have been a spectacularly brilliant solution for us at that time. And when my partner came and said, you know, this is a solution, I said, sure, this is something that I personally experienced, and this is a real opportunity, something I would have used and something I think I believe in.
All right. So that's been us. We're talking to Gary, just around what's been happening over at Taurus Capital, around, funding, litigation. They recently raised ₹145.8 million fund to fund a couple of cases, seven, in total. They have about four that are currently there. About two that are yet to be admitted. And just talking about the landscape, what does it actually take to mount a case, either in defense if you find yourself, you know, against a corporate, or if you're a corporate and you want to go to court? And one of the more interesting trends that Gary was highlighting is the fact that you know, though corporates tend to have money on hand, some of them actually don't want to spend their own money litigating cases, so they turn to the likes of Taurus to actually help them with that, and it becomes a significant revenue stream for their business. So that's been it, Gary. Thank you so much for being with us today.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
That was certainly a fascinating discussion with Gary, and it's opening up one's mind to think that there are a lot of cases out there that are probably going unlitigated because people simply don't have the money to do so. I think that particular fact on its own has been a reality for many for a lot of years now. But the significant part is the fact that people are looking at the funding of cases as a potential business model and an actual business model that's actually there. But the risk is very interesting because 3 to 5 years is not easy. A lot of the time when we talk about investments, we always talk about long-term investing to say that the actual returns come after many years. But in a situation like this, this is certainly what we mean by many years. So going forward, it will be interesting to see just how big something like Taurus Capital can be, because if the demand is as significant as what Gary is talking about, then they could realistically have multiple funds happening at the same time and, you know, funding different cases. And if, you know, obviously there's a risk because it's binary, you either win or you lose. So if, you know, that's the other factor that needs to be taken into account to say, if you find yourself, you know, losing a lot of cases, what does that do for the business model versus if a lot of the cases are being won, then that gives impetus to raise even more funds and to actually grow that actual business model. But it's really good because, like we said, a lot of people, you know, would ordinarily not have the money to litigate some of these cases. So if someone can come and create such a win-win situation, then, you know, more power to them. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.